Are y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the only show of its kind. This is not a political show. This is a law talk show. We talk law, and we love talking law with you. Our number, 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. What's on your mind today? We'll answer your questions on any legal subject, even though we're injury attorneys. We'll talk about any legal subject. We'll help you solve your problem. 303-713-8255. And welcome to all of our listeners. Welcome to KRDO, KEZZ in Steamboat Springs, KRAI in Craig, Colorado, and right here at KHOW in Denver. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Today, our 10 o'clock, every Saturday morning, we have a 1 hour from 10 to 11, Champions of the People Injury Show. And so, if you've got a minor driving a car, is somebody else responsible? Is somebody else's insurance policy responsible for that? For that, if they have an accident, for the injuries, damages, and losses? You can listen to our show and figure that out. What if you, as a parent, co-sign a loan with a minor, 16 to 18 years old, and they have an accident? Does that make you automatically responsible and liable? We're going to cover that whole topic today on our show. So you've got, that was just one part of our show. We have other subjects as well. So it's a negligent entrustment doctrine. It's very fascinating law when you deal with minors. If you, as a parent, sign a financial affidavit for your child to get a driver's license, what law applies to that and how does that affect you? So that's today on KOA at 10 to 11, every Saturday, the Champions of the People Injury Show. If you missed the show, you can get it on our website, championsofthepeople.com. Okay, Brad, we got a lot of information in the news about this forced pooling. There was a hearing in the United States District Court about the forced pooling statute, the act, the constitutional arguments. This is absolutely, if you like the United States Constitution, if you like due process, if you like the Privileges and Immunities Clause, if you like all those things, this is absolutely fascinating case. So basically, there's voluntary pooling and forced pooling. So why don't we start there?
What we deal with in the forced pooling laws and what's going on is that it's under CRS 3460-116, and it allows companies to obtain rights to set up drilling operations on certain tracts of land, even when not all the property owners who have an interest in the mineral rights give their consent. What we're talking about is that nowadays, with fracking and with the way abstraction of mineral rights oil and gas companies in order to obtain the minerals in the ground, in order for them to be able to do so, a lot of times they have to do what's called horizontal drilling, or they have to do drilling across tracts of land or into tracts of land that are not necessarily owned by the people who are allowing them to go into those land. It's not necessarily owned by the place where they've started the drilling. And so when they've started the drilling in one place, and now all of a sudden they find themselves across property lines or into mineral rights that are owned by other people, the question is how they can carry that out and what they can do. And we have what's called forced pooling statutes in the state of Colorado where they can go to the commission. The commission can look at it, and under appropriate circumstances, which are being challenged right now, and which are claimed to be a rubber stamp for the oil and gas companies, they can go and they can force entities and people and owners of land and owners of mineral rights to let them extract the raw materials. And when they can extract those materials, they extract them at a price. They can charge the people who have contested the pooling more money and more of the cost, and they can give them less of the profits that are recognized from getting their minerals.
So, I mean, this subdivision, the most recent case is the Wildgrass subdivision. The homes there are approximately about $1 million each, et cetera, give or take, and more expensive. So they filed the lawsuit because, but let's go back to the genesis of this whole problem if we're going to talk law. You got voluntary pooling and then forced pooling. So what's voluntary pooling? Voluntary pooling is when a group of homeowners get together, sign a voluntary contract, in essence, with an oil and gas company, a driller, and they are going to let them drill horizontally under the property to extract the minerals under the property. And so everybody agreed, everybody entered into a contract. That's voluntary pooling. Forced pooling is done by statute in Colorado. A forced pooling, that some of the homeowners in the subdivision or this area want the horizontal drilling under their property, want the money and the royalties paid from the extraction of the minerals, and some of them haven't consented to and or don't want it. And so the forced pooling statute, in essence, says you can force it on the people or the homeowners, even if they don't want it under certain circumstances. So one more thing, where does this Oil and Gas Commission come from? Who are these people that make these rules? And so that the Oil and Gas Commission got sued in the state and in federal court. But it comes, they come from the Oil and Gas Act. The original Oil and Gas Act sets up the commission. Now, there's the law. There's administrative law, Brad. So they set up a commission. And what does the commission have the right to do? It has the right to make rules and regulations. So do the rules and regulations become law? Yes, becomes law. So then the attack is on the commission. The attack is on the rules and regulations of the commission. So you start at the genesis, you start at the Enabling Act, and then you go from there.
Right. And, you know, the arguments you get are quite often is, okay, this Oil and Gas Commission, first of all, is it local enough to deal with local governments and what the local governments want to do? There's an argument that local governments should be able to manage all lands that are within their district and within their boundaries, and including the oil and gas and including the mineral rights that are on that land, or at least they should have a say. You've got the private ownership of a great deal of this land, and you know it's competing interests, because you've got oil and gas industry that looks and says, well, wait a minute, we need to be able to extract these minerals out of the ground to keep the economy going and to provide oil and gas and to provide the necessary minerals and benefits to the country. And then you've got the private ownership interests that are saying, I don't want you doing it on my land, or I don't want you taking advantage or getting anything from my land without a price that I set for what I own. And you get the competing interest. And nowadays, like I said, with the different kind of ways they extract minerals from the ground, with horizontal mines and with horizontal drilling, you're going across property lines quite often, and you're going into mineral rights that are not necessarily owned by the person who originally allowed the well or the drilling to occur on their property.
It's fascinating law, because who owns the mineral rights? If you have a house right now, who owns the mineral rights? If you have like 1 acre, 2 acres, or in a subdivision, who owns the mineral rights? Do you own them? Right? So you can give us a call at 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. We'll answer your questions on any legal subject. We are talking about this forced pooling statute today, but we'll be glad to help you on any legal subject. 303-713-8255. And by the way, where does the United States Constitution come in on this? What about the contract clause? What about the privileges and immunity clause? Right? What about due process? What about a hearing? And what about the rule and regulation issued by the commission? Where does that come from? How does that, is that legal or not? Bell and Pollock, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, Legal Rock and Roll. You can call us, 303-713-8255 right now, right here. We're going to solve your problem, answer your questions. Even though we're injury attorneys, we do the show for you. We've been doing it for years, and we're glad to do it as a community service. 303-713-8255. Okay, today's subject, and we'll talk about any subject, but today's subject is this situation with the forced pooling statute in Colorado. Means if you own a house in a subdivision or you have acreage, or and part of the owners in your area want to allow horizontal drilling under the property to extract minerals, but you don't, and some people don't, can they force this on you? Is that constitutional? Right? And right before the break, we were talking about, I mean, what do you know? You might not even own the minerals under your house, Brad, because you need to look at the deed, and the deed is critical, and the deed might not answer the question. You might have to look at the abstract, the title, to see what the documents say about who owns the minerals. Because you can own a house, and the surface rights and mineral ownership can be completely different.
You know, we've had this question that's come up quite often in our when we've talked to people about having rights to cross another person's property to be able to access somebody's property. And those are pretty simple rights that we look at and we go, well, you know, if you've got to be able to have an easement to be able to access your property from somebody else's property if, in fact, your property is landlocked or if there's another reason why you should be able to have this easement. When we talk about the deed you get nowadays, once upon a time, everybody got a general warranty deed. And the general warranty deed was there. There was no big deal, and that was it. Now you have things that are carved out of the deed you get, and you get rights that are carved out of it. And quite often, one of them is mineral rights. Now, I can remember, Gary, once upon a time when you dealt with realtors, and you know Barry and Larry can probably confess to this or put their two cents in on this, but I can remember once upon a time when somebody would get a special warranty deed and it exempted the minerals out of the special warranty deed. Everybody just kind of like, oh, so what? Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal, but it is a big deal in a way. Because what is happening is when you're getting your property, when you're getting your house, when you're getting that plot of land, if it exempts out the mineral rights and it reserves that ownership to someone else, then you've got a different story here. You're talking about something that's very important. Because now the question is, how are people going to have access to those minerals? And do you have minerals that are going to be worth somebody deciding they want to mine? Or as we talk about it, maybe somebody two blocks down has minerals they want to mine or has a plot that wants to be mined. But like we said, with the different way that fracking goes on now, all of a sudden your land's going to be affected and your property's going to be affected. Do you really know what minerals there are underneath your house and that you're sitting on top of? And are these minerals, do they belong to you, or did you get a deed that didn't give them to you and reserve the minerals to someone else? Now, you know, obviously, the case we've been talking about today is in front of Judge Brooke Jackson in Federal District Court. He's a very good judge. He refused, or he did not issue the restraining order that was requested by the plaintiffs in this case. But instead, he said, in essence, that the commission's about to have a meeting and to discuss this, and he's going to be watching very closely to see if people's constitutional rights are protected.
Right, but you know, who owns the mineral rights? Because I tell you, when you go to a real estate closing, you better know what kind of documents you're getting, especially the deed. You know, when I go to my own real estate closing, I pay attention to certain things and certain things I don't care about. But one of the things I really care about is the deed I'm getting, what it says. If you get a general warranty deed, there are six common law covenants in the deed, and you say, who cares? Well, you might care if you're looking at the minerals under your house. You might really care if you're looking at that versus a special warranty deed versus a quitclaim deed. All these are very important. But if you don't own the minerals, then somebody else can contract away your minerals that were under your property. And so that's what part of this is about. But if you do own the minerals, and that would be controlled by your deed and would be controlled by the abstract title and the chain of title, then you have an ability to negotiate. But the forced pooling statute, is it constitutional?
And that's still to be decided. I mean, that's got to be decided, and it's going to be decided eventually as you get more and more involvement with this idea that in one form or another, people are you've got a company that can look and say, we want to extract the minerals out of this area. And we've got certain people who agree to let us go onto their land, either above the land or below the land. I'm talking maybe just mining underneath the land. We've got certain people that have agreed to let us go and get those minerals for a price. They get paid. You know, they would make a deal with the company. But we've got other people who say, no, we don't want you doing that. We don't want fracking underneath our property, or we don't want you coming on our property. We don't want you doing mining on our property. We think it's too dangerous, or we don't like the effects, or we just don't want that to happen. The question is, first of all, do they have a right to stop it? And that starts with what their ownership rights are. And then the second question comes up is, if they do have a right to stop it, what happens when a commission like this comes in and says, no, we're going to do force pooling because you're standing, in essence, in the way of progress. I mean, you know, it's a matter of just saying you're standing in the way of progress. Now, you know, we've talked about many times eminent domain in this show, and we've talked about the right to be able for governments to condemn certain properties, pay you a fair price or what's got to be determined a lot of times by the court for a fair price, to be able to widen a street and take some of your property when they widen a street, or to be able to take a property because they need it, the government needs it for different reasons.
Or to put a high-speed highway right through your ranch.
Right, or to put a high-speed highway, or to be able to access different things that are on your property. We've talked about above the ground. This is below the ground. And there is a commission that that deals with that. One of the arguments that the Wildgrass people are bringing up is they're saying that it's a rubber stamp commission that really doesn't have any really rules and regulations that they follow, or any procedures that they follow, or any way you can stop them. And they want to stop the forced pooling. And, you know, forced pooling is another way. It's kind of interesting because that's a private enterprise that is using a governmental entity commission that's been established to allow the private enterprise to go forward and carry out this pooling. And the interest also is that if Gary, you and I are owning property right next to each other and I agree to the pooling, I'm going to get one price for the minerals. If you disagree with the pooling, you're going to get a lesser price. More costs are going to be charged to you just because you disagreed. And in a way, right now they're saying, but if the commission approves the pooling, you can't stop it anyway.
Well, there's some people that say, you know, they take the side of the Wildgrass people. We don't want the pooling. We don't want the drilling. We don't want the horizontal drilling under our property. It's not fair. We didn't get a fair hearing. A fair hearing. Due process rights. A fair hearing. And I think that's part of what Judge Jackson was referring to when he declined to it. But also, they didn't have the driller in that company. It was named Extraction. But okay. So you've got the forced pooling. But I like Article 1, Section 10 of the United States Constitution in this whole argument. I like, that's called the Contract Clause. What does that mean? Anybody know what that means? It basically says the Contract Clause, Article 1, Section 10, prohibits states, listen to this very carefully, prohibits states from passing any law that impairs the obligation of contract. It isn't a pooling situation, a contract. Is forced pooling a contract? Is it a contract imposed by law? So, I also like the Privileges and Immunities Clause in this particular case. It talks about discriminatory manner. So, we're here to help you. You can call us 303-713-8255. Join us live right now is David from Colorado Springs. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was reaching out to you because I've got a son who is now 16 years old and eligible to start working. But when he was a bit younger, he made a poor choice and got in trouble with the police. And they stated that the offense is eligible for expungement, but I don't know the process. Go about it. If you could guide me in that, that'd be great.
Okay, sure. You were cutting out a little bit, on us, but you've got a son got into a little bit of trouble earlier, and now we're talking about expunging a criminal record, right?
Correct.
Okay, was it, so without specifics, was it a felony or a misdemeanor, this problem with your son before?
No felonies. I believe it would probably fall under misdemeanor.
Oh, okay, so, yeah, and Brad's an expert in this area. I mean, there's procedures to expunge records, yes.
Let's go back for a minute. You said your son, how old was he when the offense was committed?
15.
Okay, so at the time that it was committed, did they talk about the fact that his record gets sealed? How old is he now?
16.
Okay, so you're wanting to expunge the record now so we can start working, and this isn't one where we're saying when he's no longer a minor.
No, he's definitely still a minor. I just don't want him to encounter any kind of hindrances in the workplace. I mean, he paid his debt, he did his community service, and he definitely caught my wrath, so I think he's well-paid.
Sounds like Dad gave a little tough love there, is that right?
Oh, yeah. I embraced him very tightly, and I gave him a hug. I don't know how much I loved him.
Okay, he's got to fit within certain categories. He can't, it sounds like it's not. It can't be for any kind of unlawful sexual behavior. It sounds like it's a single offense. He's not an aggravated juvenile offender.
No.
Did it involve any kind of violent offense?
Nope, nothing violent at all. Just malicious vandalism.
Okay, where did it occur?
in El Paso County.
Okay, what's going to have to happen, we're going to have to get with the El Paso district attorney, and we're going to have to work with the district attorney's office and request expungement of the record from the court. Okay, and there's a petition that could be filed to expunge it. Now, was he arrested, or was this one where the police found him and arrested him, or there was an arrest warrant?
No arrest warrants. He was never arrested, or nothing like that at all.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to expunge the court file, and it sounds like he's completed everything he was supposed to complete.
Correct.
Oh, yeah. David, we got a break coming up. Can you just hang with a few minutes? Because I got a couple more comments for you after the break, okay?
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to put you on hold, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, the only show of its kind. Don't forget about the show that follows our show, the Consumer Real Estate Show. Barry and Larry, they know about general warranty deeds. They know about special warranty deeds. They know about subsurface mineral rights. They know what abstracts of titles are. You listen to them. They have a great show. It follows our show. Bell and Pollock. We'll be right back. Fasten your seatbelt. Here we go. We're about to take off. Legal rock and roll. Grab your legal bagel, your legal coffee. Guys, we're going to talk to Eric from Caitlin's. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are we doing today?
Good. What's cooking over there?
I got some new specials. We'll start with that breakfast special. We have a new version of one of our Mile Highs. We're running a Mile High bowl special. We're calling it the Breakfast Burrito Bowl, and that's going to be a mountain of hash browns. It gets one egg cooked to the temperature of your choice. It's going to get sautéed bell peppers, onions, mushrooms, baby spinach, black beans. Put that right there, and you're going to get Greek yogurt on the side to go with that. A little healthier option for those people out there. There's no cheese on that. There is no chili on that, but, of course, you can get that on the side if you want to. That's going to be the breakfast special for the next couple of weeks, and we're going with the good old-fashioned green chili cheeseburger. That's a customer request. That's going to be our lunch special for the next 2 weeks. That's a 6-ounce burger. We cook that to the temperature of your choice. Get that Hatch green chili on there. Of course, that's what we got going on in this restaurant is the Hatch green chili. Load it up with either pepper jack, Swiss, American cheddar cheese on top of that if you want it. As always, you can get those waffle-cut fries or those homemade chips on the fries. That green chili cheeseburger is going to be our lunch special for the next couple of weeks, guys. And don't forget, we're still doing that 6 a.m., 10 a.m. early bird special. That includes 2 eggs, hash browns, 1 sausage patty, 2 slices of bacon or a half a ham slab on that, your choice of toast on that one as well. That is the breakfast special. That's only $6.99. That's from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, and that is dine-in only, guys. Just make sure you're aware of that. Tons of other things on that menu. As you know, I've told you many times before, a lot of scratch-made products. Tons of things going on. Flat screens are on. Sports are abundant. Weather is absolutely gorgeous. I know it's going to turn a little bit this weekend, but we are enjoying today. So come on down to Caitlin's and enjoy all the other things we have going on as well, guys.
Eric, you got some construction going on down there.
We do. We talked about it a few weeks ago. They are redoing the whole face and the parking lot of our strip center. They're modernizing us. They're updating us. It is a little inconvenient. They have taken up some of the parking spaces. They're trying not to be intrusive. They're trying to do it around as best as they can around our customers. But please, I promise you, if you come on down, we'll make room for you. We'll get you in here, and we will get you treated right once you get it in. It will be worth your wait. Come on down and check it out.
And I don't think it affects the thing on that deck. You can sit out there on that deck and enjoy it if it's a nice enough deck.
Absolutely. You know, we have lots of people within walking distance that come in. You can bring your dog. You can hang out on the patio. The umbrellas can be up. All kinds of things, crafts and mimosas, like I said, scratch-made products, biscuits, gravy, chicken fried steak, chicken fried chicken, all that red and green chili that's made from scratch, all those buttermilk pancakes, excuse me, that are made from scratch. Tons of things going on, so all those things to come down and check out, I promise you, we love.
Okay, Eric, where are you located?
Guys, we are 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that is one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That is in that Glendale Shopping Center they're working on right now, so please come on down. You will love it every by the way.
All right, Eric, thanks a lot.
Guys, thanks.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. You can call us. We're going to solve your problem on any legal question. I don't care if it's divorce. Brad doesn't care if it's property rights. We'll do that. We do estate questions, will questions, contract questions, lease questions, landlord-tenant issues, 303-713-8255. Right before the break, David, we were talking to David. Are you still with us, David?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, David wanted to know about expungement of the records of his son. His son had a little problem earlier. Now he's got his life in order. And so, Brad, what do you got?
You know, David, I can get you the forms to fill out. You're going to have to file some forms in the county where the offense occurred, and it's in El Paso County. You got about 30 to 60 days. The DA will take a position one way or the other. If your son's completed all that he's supposed to do, I think the best thing that you want to do right now for him as a juvenile is go for expungement. There is also being able to seal the record in the event that for some reason they're not allowed to do expungement. And I don't want to talk to you a whole lot about the nature of the criminal offense to see if the district attorney would fight expungement, all right? Because expungement is if it gets removed from the record, if you seal it, it's just made so people can't access it. So there's a little bit of a difference there on what you do and what he's eligible for. But I think I've got the forms and I can send them out to you, or we can sit down and talk to it. We'll get your number and I'll just call you this week and supply you with all necessary information. We'll get the information about him. Do you have the court papers that he had when he pled to the offense? So he was probably adjudicated. He probably didn't plead to any kind of offense, did he? Or was he adjudicated?
No, we didn't even go before a magistrate. I was under the impression we were going to go sit before a judge or a magistrate, and it was actually like a session of, hey, he's going to go into this juvenile program and kind of work with like a probation-type person and perform some community service. So there was no actual like a real plea of innocence or guilt or anything like that at all.
And there was no real adjudication then, it sounds like, either. And that's important when you're dealing with minors. And rather than plead, they get an adjudication. We can get all that expunged, I think. I don't think that's going to be a problem. And we're happy to do it for you or help you go through the process. Let's get your name and number. We'll talk more about what the exact process was. And I'll get you the forms. We'll fill them out, get them filed with the court. Like I said, the district attorney has about somewhere within 30 to 60 days, they'll give their position. If he's completed everything, they'll run a check on him to see if he's done everything. If he's completed all of his requirements, and if they have, I don't think he'll have any problem getting his punishment.
Awesome.
And David, I'm going to put you on hold. So give Kevin your information and we will contact you and we will help you. Okay.
Thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. You can call us, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Here we are, 303-713-8255. And don't forget about our show today at 10 o'clock, the Champions of the People Injury Show on KOA, 850 a.m. every Saturday, a one-hour injury show, right? What if you supply money as a parent to a minor to buy a car for them? Does that trigger liability? What if you just co-sign on a note? Is that different? You can listen to our show. What if you're dealing with a disadvantaged or handicapped or mentally challenged driver that causes an accident or a minor that causes an accident? Listen to our show today at 10 o'clock. All of those questions are answered, plus more. Join us live right now is Bob from Aurora. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What can we do for you?
I've got a question on this, the mineral rights.
All right, let's go.
What about a place that has an HOA? And I know usually it's above ground stuff.
Right.
But you can't even put a shed in. So how would you be able to put an oil rig somewhere which is above ground and unsightly? And also, does the mineral rights specify your plot of land and, let's say, hypothetically, to the center of the earth?
Did we lose him?
Did we lose you, Bob? Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, all right. So, I mean, you ask a fascinating question. You got an HOA, Homeowners Association. Do they have any rights? Do they have any right of control or legal right to object to a forced pooling situation? Yeah. You live in a subdivision. Now they're gonna drill. 10 homeowners agree, but 14 don't agree, or maybe 140 don't agree. Okay, and then what are the rights of the HOA? So then you got to go back to, right, what I preach all the time, the enabling document. What's the enabling document? First of all, was the HOA set up in the chain of title, in the abstract of title, in the chain of title? And secondly, what are their powers enumerated there? And you got to take a look at that.
It starts with the same basics. When you buy a condominium or a townhouse or some kind of property within the HOA, and it can even be a house if the HOA has that, you've got to see what you're getting. And in some of these HOAs now, you're not getting the mineral rights when you're buying it as an individual. Instead, it'll be something that the HOA owns. Now you've got a whole different story. As far as I'm concerned, a whole different story, because now the HOA, through appropriate procedures, and perhaps it might even take a vote, depending on what their enabling documents say, may be able to allow this the mineral exploration and the mineral drilling right up to your unit, right up to where you're at. And if they do, then you don't have a problem with forced pooling because the HOA has the authority to require it.
Yes.
And Gary's giving me some looks like he's about to fall out of his chair.
I'm not to fall out of my chair. I'm just so excited about the subject. I mean, the HOA, in their enabling document or documents, do they have any authority to deal with subsurface rights? Hello?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. Yes, they do, because we can't even put homes, and you can't even put a shed up in your yard.
No, that's a surface right, though, Bob.
Yeah, surface right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
well, how far does the mineral rights extend deep into the earth?
Well, it goes as far as they can get the vein, as far as the vein goes. But you know what? When you say you can't put a shed up there,
go
out today and get a backhoe and start digging on the property in front of your house and see how fast the HOA comes and tells you, hey, you can't put anything underneath the ground either. Tell them you want to build a little shelter underneath the ground and see how fast they stop you.
Or get a backhoe and dig down 10 feet and say I'm gonna put some mementos for generations to come when the space aliens
right a subterranean land. Home of some type.
Yeah, so
now,
you know.
Now the forced pooling, I believe, is set up. Forced pooling statute. The Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, I believe, they have the power to even tell an HOA, we're going to drill underneath your property, or we're going to drill your mineral rights, and you're part of the forced pooling. We can force you.
I know the forced pooling statute, but Bob, hang on here.
Okay.
We've got a break coming, but you hang on.
Okay.
I still like Article 1, Section 10, the contract clause of the United States Constitution. I still like that, and we're going to get back to your question. So can you stay with us?
Okay.
All right, 303-713-8255. You can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. All of our books are there. We've written 6 books. They're free. You can download an e-copy free, right? You can come by our law firm and get a hard copy free. We'll buy you a cup of coffee. Or you just call our law firm and we'll mail you one. It doesn't get any better than that. And if you want my own personal deck sheet on my own personal car insurance policy to see what I do, I'll give it to you. Right? Bell and Pollock. We'll be right back. Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here for you, right? 303-713-8255. I still like Article 1, Section 10 of the United States Constitution. Right before the break, we were talking to Bob. You still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you know, you got me so excited. I'm not sure we answered your question. What was your question?
Yes, you did. It was about the HOA. And then what kind of powers does that go into? And lastly, whoever has the rights, once you read on your deed, they're the ones that are going to reap the benefit of any drilling.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And the question
really
is
defined in your deed who's going to reap the benefits?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of times when you have the title policy and you get the title work done, you can track back to whoever might have those rights. And a lot of times you want to track back to who has those rights because, you know, if you get the deed and you say, wait a minute, I don't want that. What if you're up in Broomfield where there is a lot of this going on, where there's a lot of mining going on? You might want to track back and find out who has those rights so you might be able to stop the use of those rights or purchase those mineral rights.
Can you say by ballpark figure maybe how long ago people begin to view that as writing in a deed? Because usually a homeowner, they don't even think about it. Now it's become more aware, you know, what kind of stuff could be under your land. Now, you know, it's a concern.
Right. I can tell you, Bob, it's hundreds of years. It's history. We inherited our law from England. We talk about common law. We talk about general warranty deeds. What does a general warranty deed mean? There are 6 common law covenants in a warranty deed. I'm not going to go through those now.
Yeah.
But But let's take a homeowner out there in Broomfield the Wildgrass lawsuit. They don't want the pooling. They don't want forced pooling. They don't want it under their house. But let's say they don't own the mineral rights.
Right.
Let's say in the chain of title they never own the mineral rights. They have no standing. They have no objection. Exactly. It's over with. It's done, right?
Yeah, standing.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, about 18 years ago, I bought a house in Highlands Ranch.
Okay.
And there was no question about it. 4 years later, so that'd be about 14 years, I sold that house and I moved out to Grant Ranch area. And when I hit Grant Ranch, it went from being able to get a general warranty deed to a special warranty deed where the mineral rights were exempted. And I remember that being a huge issue when I was buying the property. It was a huge issue when I was buying the house and when I was going to close on the house, and what kind of warranty deed or what kind of special warranty deed I was getting and what kind of rights I was leaving to the mineral rights owners.
Well, gentlemen, you just made me have a look at my deeds and see what they say.
Yeah,
I guess a lot of people should.
Well, I tell you what, you do not go to a real estate closing ever and not know what kind of deeds you're getting and not know what the chain of title is. You know, I might ignore everything else in a real estate closing I do, but I'm not going to ignore the deed.
And stick around for the next show, because Barry and Larry are going to love to talk about
this. They are.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you for the call. We're glad to take all of your calls. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. You can call us at 303-713-8255. Right now, we're going to talk to Bill from Canyon City. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Bill.
Yeah, what can we do, sir?
Yeah, I've got a property that I had possession of for over 20 years. And what happened was we filed bankruptcy around 2000, in the year 2000. And it went to foreclosure, and the judge dropped the foreclosure and never followed through. So through the years, we've been paying the taxes on the property and everything. And we moved on in our lives for a little while. I was having medical problems. But anyway, I got back over here, and nobody had taken possession of the property or anything. But we've been paying, like I said, the taxes on it all this time, and even up to today. We have a problem with the title. There's still a lien on it, but the FTC sued and won some kind of settlement with the finance company that we had it financed through, and they shut down and they went out of business, and it was associates. Anyway, since then, the only lien we have is associates on the property. And we're trying to clear the title on it.
Okay, so through all those machinations that you just described, then there's some kind of lien from associates, finance company, something like that?
Yes, sir.
On the property still, and they're out of business, and the foreclosure never went through to judicial or foreclosure sale, correct?
Right.
And you've been paying taxes, and so you're now wanting to know how to deal with this lien?
Yes.
All right.
How to get rid of it, because obviously, you know, nobody's come to take possession of the property or has done anything to try and take the property.
Do you have all the title work on the property?
Yes, sir, we sure do.
All right, this looks like it might be need a quiet title action filed, and we can help you. We can help you with that, to get a quiet title action filed down there where the property is located, to
okay.
A quiet title, and to remove the liens to the extent the liens have any validity at all. They'll have to be dealt with. But if the liens are should be taken off, we can get them taken off the property.
Okay.
But this is one where, Bill, we're going to have to take your number, call you up, work with you to get the title quieted with respect to your ownership rights. You've been paying the taxes, so I think that you'd have the priority in ownership.
Okay.
Looks like we're going to have to put our abstract title legal hat on for you, Bill. We'll be glad to do it.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Hey, I'm going to put you on hold, all right? And you give Kevin your information.
Okay.
Thank you for calling us, sir.
Thank you.
All right. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here for you right now. We're here for Robin. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, gentlemen. I enjoy your show. Thanks for what you do.
Welcome. Thank you.
I wanted to help you out a little bit with mineral ownership.
Okay.
I'm a petroleum land man, and I'm also an HOA president. Every developer, 100% of all developers, whether they're single-family residences or condos, when they subdivide the property, they withhold the minerals. They split the mineral estate away from the surface estate. So nobody in any subdivided property has any mineral ownership whatsoever. And by the way, mineral ownership is a distinct United States law, not a British law. The only, every country in the world, with the exception of the United States, the Crown owns the minerals. Here we have individual mineral rights.
And you say the Crown, the king, basically, right?
Yes, sir, the government, whoever. The United States is the only place in the world where there's individual free mineral ownership. And by the way, the mineral owner has as much right to the surface as the surface owner does. That's a fact.
To access the minerals and to extract them from the ground is what you're saying.
Yes, sir. I mean, theoretically, if I own the minerals and you own the surface, I could get at my minerals by bulldozing your house to make room for my rig. Now, that's a really far-out situation, but what happens in the real world, and you guys need to know about a little bit about this, is if I sell you a 40-acre parcel and I withhold the minerals, and the parcel had a surface value of, say, $1 million, the fact that I've retained the minerals cheapens the price where you can actually buy it for, say, $600,000. Well, that kind of gets lost later on as you start to develop your property, but I still have the right to come back on and extract my minerals. So that is, I learned my job in Southern California where it's, really interesting. So,
well, Robin, we got to go, but we would appreciate if you would call us next week so we can finish this. But you know, there's some fascinating parts of your statement, and maybe these people in Broomfield don't even own the mineral rights. But we're up against the wall on time, so I'm going to have to let you go.
I'd love to have you call us next week, Robin.
All right.
I will.
All right. Thank you. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Listen to our Champions of the People Injury Show today at 10 o'clock every Saturday for 1 hour, 10 in the morning, 10 to 11 on 850 AM KOA. We cover it all for you. We are injury attorneys. We are Bell and Pollock, and we are the champions of the people. We'll forget the way the moonlight shined upon her head.